Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store or Lowe's.com for more details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was a spirit of a young boy trying to protect her baby from another much darker spirit in the house?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, we're Real Ghost Stories and we like to hear them. So if you've got one, call it in if you want to, 855-853-4802. If you're more comfortable at writing, you can do that, realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to be a premium subscriber, that's an option for you. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon. How's it going today?
It is going good. It is going real well.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I am tired. Because what? This girl has been up the last couple nights, almost like half the night. I think, honestly, probably in two nights I've slept 4 hours because we have storms in the middle of the night and my dog is petrified of them.
Oh,
so if somebody has some good like tips on this, let me know, because don't tell me Thunder Shirt because that don't work with him.
Drugs.
Although if somebody does have a small dog, I'd be happy to give you this one.
The dog or the shirt?
No. The dog staying here. The Thunder shirt.
I was going to say, I'll take the dog.
You can have my dog. He's adorable, like except for storms in the middle of the night. But I've never seen a dog so afraid of storms. I have never in my life experienced this.
Well, I used to have a dog named Sam who was just terrible. Like, you could do, it just didn't matter. He just whined and paced and fretted, and it just went on and on and on. And he would get up on my pillow and, like, put his body around my head like I was wearing a hat, you know? And that's kind of awkward way to sleep with a dog that's on your head. And, I mean, I would try to put him in a closet with blankets and pillows and climb in the closet with him, you know? Nope, that didn't work. I got under the bed with him. I did like everything you could think of and nothing.
I know.
Nothing
Benjamin.
Ever worked with that dog.
And he gets up and paces. So once in a while, he'll pace outside of the bedroom. But when it's really bad, he wants to be next to me, but he's just pacing. And so on the hardwood floors and he's just panting. Then he tries to he just puts his paws on the bed and whines, but doesn't really want up on the bed.
Doesn't want comforted. Doesn't want you to, hold him or anything.
And that went on for about 2 hours last night. And I just kept staring at the radar. I'm like, certainly we're done. Okay, it's starting to look better. Then boom, and another one. I'm like, shit.
Ugh.
So poor guy, he's exhausted today, but at least he gets to nap all day.
Yeah.
That's the one thing he's got going
for him.
I know, the poor little guy. Well, we do have an interesting ghost story today.
Yeah,
okay. A couple. So this story says, hey guys, my name is Francisco, but you can call me Frank for short. Hey, Frank. This story isn't about me, but I was in the house at the time it was happening. This story is actually about my older sister. My older sister is a successful investor here in Houston. And one summer about 10 years ago, she decided to buy a house out in Katy, Texas, a kind of suburb of Houston. The house that she bought was a two-story house in a neighborhood. That sounded like your dog.
I'm sorry, yeah.
No, and that's okay, but I want to point that out so people don't think it was a demon.
No, it's...
So, no demonic activity.
Yeah.
It was a dog. Let's see, the house she bought was a two-story house in a neighborhood that was just recently built. She was actually the first person to live at the house, which was somewhat of a relief to me because I was 9 years old at the time. And at that young age, I was a fan of the paranormal, and so was she. There was quite a big age gap between us, almost 20 years. So that would make her about 28 or 29 at that time. So let me go into a bit of the layout of the house. You walk in through the front door, and about 15 feet away from the door is the staircase that leads to the upstairs. You go up one flight of stairs going east, and then there's a landing, and the second flight of stairs that leads up to the upstairs leads you west. Oh, so you go the whole opposite direction. One night, my sister woke up to the sound of what she assumed to be my baby niece at the time, only a couple months old, crying through her baby monitor, which was located right next to her on the night table. My sister slowly started to rise out of her bed when she saw that the door to the baby's room, which was directly across from her bedroom, was shut. It's a good time to point out that between her bedroom and her daughter's bedroom, there is sort of a rec room, almost like a living room, so it's an open space, no actual hallway in the upstairs. The doors that lead to her room are two big double doors. While she was about to exit her bedroom, both of her double doors shut right in her face, and one of the doors literally hit her in the nose. The baby's crying intensified as this happened, and she immediately opened her doors and started to run across the upstairs living room to reach her daughter's room when she saw what she said was a black boy. Not a shadow person. She's had experiences with those before, but she said literally an African-American boy. The boy was exiting her daughter's room. He didn't even open the door. She said he literally walked through it. This whole thing would be so terrifying. It's like something out of a horrible movie, a scary movie, because the baby's crying and then those doors slam in your face like that and you're just trying to get to your baby. Then you see a young boy. Yeah. As she stood frozen in the middle of the living room, they locked eyes and she said he talked. She said he did not really talk to her, but kind of talked to her in her mind. She said the boy said something along the lines of, he was just keeping her company. The master doesn't like noisy babies. And I had to make sure he didn't come up here and hurt her. The boy turned and walked down the stairs, but as he descended, he vanished. My God, this could be the scariest scene out of a movie. Mm. My sister at this point was... this is a typo, but it was making me laugh. My sister at this point was historical.
Well, it's pretty historic. I would agree with that.
Maybe a wee bit there's a little history going on, but I'm going to assume she was hysterical. She ran to her baby's room, picked her up, and ran back to her room, only to have the door slam in her face again. She sprinted down the stairs with the baby to the downstairs bedroom, which I was staying in. She burst through my door, and it scared me because even though it was past midnight, I was not asleep. I was up on my laptop playing a video game. She explained to me what happened and asked Frank, "What happened to the boy?" Confused, I asked her what she was talking about. The kid, there was a kid upstairs. Where is he? At this point, she has me feeling uncomfortable and scared. We decided to spend the night at my mom's, and as she was going upstairs to get her car keys, I was now holding my niece. And a voice seemingly coming from upstairs ran through the house. The voice was deep, and you can tell by the tone and Southern Texas accent, the voice was aggravated. And then in all caps, it says, "Shut that damn kid up." I hate that. My sister flew down the stairs, keys in hand, and we left. My sister was so scared, she was literally just in her husband's big t-shirt and underwear and left the house just like that. Just thought I would share this one incident, even though I have a couple more. Even had an encounter with what we believe to be a spirit to whom the voice belonged. Oh. My sister did end up leaving the house about 5 years later, though she does own it. She seems to have trouble keeping tenants. The house is beautiful and spacey, so you really have to wonder what has driven 9 different families in a span of 6 to 7 years out of the house. The irony is that her new house actually had 2 people die in it, and she's never experienced anything at all. The house is almost inviting and very peaceful. From listening to your show, I know that spirits can attach themselves to land and not necessarily the house itself. Like I said, I have a couple more stories from that house and even the place I work, which is a grocery store. I work overnight and listen to your podcast all night, which adds to the creepiness of the place at night. Take care and keep up the great work, Frank. Ooh, that's some scary, scary stuff.
Well,
you know, so
would you rent that house?
Well, if...
Like if it was, you know, if you were looking for a house and you, after you'd heard that story, he said it seems peaceful.
Actually, I think he meant the second one because it says she still has... The house is beautiful and spacey, but the irony is her new house actually had two people die in it. She never experienced anything at all. The house is almost inviting and very peaceful. So even though people died in her new house, that one doesn't have any.
Well, okay.
That's what I think.
So would you have moved into a house where two people died?
You know, I think possibly. Because you might not know it when you're looking at the house. And if you're looking at the house and you're not picking up any weird energy or something, because who knows, maybe somebody died in my house. It was built in 1940.
Well, I'm just saying if you knew two people died in the house, would you rent it?
I don't know. I'd have to, I don't know.
I'm not sure I would. I think I'm too sensitive.
Maybe if it,
I think
know.
I'd feel it.
Because I've always felt... With this house, there is kind of a presence in it, but I think they love the house. But it's not like any interactive sort of presence. It just feels very loving. I have had so many people who have come to my house and said, your house has such great energy. So maybe, you know, somebody could pass and they just love it and they love that somebody's living there taking care of it. They might not ever need to interact because they're like, she's doing okay. But yeah. Let's try to help her find some help with the yard. I could use some.
You have such a big yard. Well, I think it's just weird. After all of the events that were happening in the first house.
Can I just interrupt?
Yeah.
I'm watching you on video, and I just saw something go like from the upper left screen to the bottom right screen. It was like this little orb just flew right in front of you. I don't know. Maybe it was a bug or dust or something. But that was really strange.
No, I didn't see anything.
I sure did. That was really weird.
In front of me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Speaking of haunted
places. Speaking of my spirits that run around in my house, I just, you know, after... Well, I guess my question being is, after all of that stuff that happened in the house, or that original house, I think it would be hard for me to say, yeah, now I'm going to move into a house where two people died.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because of just everything you've just been through, and now this. What do you think about this whole little boy that seemed to maybe be possibly trying to have the baby not cry? See, because I would think... that at least for a while, the baby is crying every night. You know? For at least a little while, the baby wakes up each night, right? Most babies do.
One would think. You know, but
and
I
so,
do wonder...
But it wasn't happening every night the baby woke up and
cried? It does not say that. So my guess is no. But I wonder, too, because I've heard lots of different places talk about the hauntings and... Like, I interviewed this woman this week who has a house, a haunted house, and it's called the Ross House. And they have this really evil spirit that several mediums and different EVPs have picked up on Alfred, that his name's Alfred. And they think they know who he actually was in life. And he did not live in that house. But he's...
Really?
Yeah, but he's really mean. And
like what kind of mean? Like, give me an example.
Choking people.
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah, it's very mean.
Yeah, I'll put that right up there. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, that's like a 10.
And then he'll do something like that or push somebody. It's very physical.
Mean.
It's mean. And then they'll pick up on EVPs saying, I'm so sorry. And so then he apologizes for it after it. So, but not everybody picks up on that. So I wonder if sometimes these spirits might be very active one night and not active the next night.
Yeah. And we have talked about the fact that, you know, just because a time is happening, our time and their time don't necessarily mesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe what happens to us every single day, it just happens like over a long period of time for them, or, you know, who knows how it works. But it's just interesting that there was this little boy spirit.
But he seemed to be protecting the baby.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of beautiful.
Like I totally believe that sometimes there is that protective spirit, because we grew up with what I felt like was two different things in a house. One felt very, very, very evil, and the other felt like it was not, you know, and maybe in some ways protective. So I think that's definitely a possibility, that you can have that yin and that yang, that balance, you know. It's just an interesting form that it took as this child.
Now, Frank did say...
Now, maybe, you know, it was... I don't know.
Frank did say that he has had more experiences in that house.
I hope he'll write those in, and then we can kind of... compare them and make sure that you tell us that these are extra ones about this house, so we know.
I don't know, but I do think that, you know, you could have an experience like that and maybe not have another one for a while.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it just seemed like, you know, you just wonder, okay, so what was it that, why was he so upset about the baby and the fussing baby?
Because in life he was just a dick, maybe.
Maybe.
Because if you're an asshole in life, you know, you don't just like flip a switch and go, I saw the light.
That's probably true. Well, even if you did see the light.
No, he actually does need to see the light.
Yeah, he does, like, need to see the
literally
light. Frank.
Go to it.
Frank, whatever your name is, man, you know.
Go to the light.
Go to it.
Do something. Right? Oh, that's just creepy, but
yeah, you're right. It did sound like a movie, though, didn't it?
Yes.
And then the sister running down the stairs and like, oh my gosh, did you see this, you know, boy? And, you know.
Man, if I had the time in my life, I would like take these stories and kind of turn them into a movie script. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, we could write a screenplay.
Yeah, we've got so many. Like, that would be a great scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I'll put that on my list of things to do.
With the door shutting and everything?
Yes. And then she gets the baby and the door shut again.
But it's weird because, like, if you want the baby to settle down, why would you try to, you know, shut the mom out?
Because, well, now he's just pissed. Oh. You know those old
grumpy
asshole guys like that are just like, shut that kid up. No, you're not coming back in here. Take that kid somewhere else. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Here is our next story.
It's Autumn. I'm from St. Thomas, Ontario. I tried to write in before, but I'm not a really good storyteller. I was all over the place. So the story goes back to when I was 20, going on 21. I was pregnant with my first child. So I'd unfortunately drop out of college and move in with my dad's parents in a little village called Shedden, which is in Southfold Township here outside of St. Thomas, Ontario. So I moved in there. Everything was good. And I grew up not knowing that I had an aunt that unfortunately got hit by a truck when she was 6 years old. I seen pictures of her when I was growing up, but I always assumed it was my dad because she resembled my dad so much. Anyway, so I found out that I had an aunt, and the way I found out, you know, I heard my aunt Donna talking about her, but the cemetery that's literally down the road from my grandparents, that's how I found out. And this was after my first child was born. I went there with her. She was only a few months old. And that's how I found out that I had an aunt, Diane. Anyway, after she passed, you know, my grandpa was really upset, but he lost his first daughter. And so I think it was 2 days after she had passed away that my grandpa was sitting in his chair, which was very close to the stairs that go upstairs to the second level. And she was there up at the top of the stairs, as my grandpa described. And she was telling him how much he loves him. So that was that. And so, like, when I was living with them, I was having dreams of this little girl. And it wasn't the baby I was pregnant with, because my daughter is biracial. I was having dreams of tucking this little girl into bed, just down the way from my grandpa's room. And turns out that was the room that was hers when she was little. And she was just talking to me that she was scared. She was sitting on the stairs. And in my dream, I was walking her up and telling her it was okay, taking her into the room, getting her into bed, and tucking her in and telling her it'll all be okay. Just get some rest. Little did I know, during that dream, that was the night of her death date. At breakfast, my grandpa had asked me, did you go in the room down the way the previous day? And I said, no. He's like, that's weird. The last few nights, I've been having to get up at 2:30 in the morning on my way to go to my nightly washroom break and close the door because it's open. Meanwhile, at breakfast, and again, it's her death date, her anniversary of her death. My grandpa has workbenches right down in the basement. That's also a cellar. Their house was built in 1904. And as we're talking about this, all of his stuff flew right off of his workbench and crashed and hit the cement floor. Obviously, someone didn't like that we were talking about that. And unfortunately, my grandpa passed away in September 2019, a month before I was having my second child. He passed away of brain cancer. Him and my oldest daughter were very close. And my grandpa was a good man. He loved his children. He still does. And he loved all of his grandchildren. Anyway, thank you for all the great content. Bye.
Well, thank you very much for that call. And you can tell she loved her grandpa so much.
Oh my gosh, yes. And he does sound like a great person.
So on that first story, which I thought was so funny because she has an Aunt Dawn and Aunt Diane, and our mom's Donna and her sister's Diane. And so it was just kind of
funny.
Well,
it's kind of like Carol and Kathy, you know. And
just depends on the era you were born. There's a lot of Donnas and Dianes in the same families back then. But so that first story, was it her aunt that she thought that, both of those stories, was it her aunt that she thought she was seeing?
I think so. I think it was the one that died.
Okay, that's what I was thinking too.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was the Aunt Diane. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that second story is really creepy when you're talking about it, then everything flies off of the bench or flew off of something. Like,
yeah, it sounded like off of a workbench that things were on. But
things I thought the thing
I thought was the creepiest or the most, you know, telling of this was that the door to the room was open.
Mm.
And you know that feeling when you purposely keep a door shut, you know, and maybe in that house, because it had been her room, you know, you don't know. Maybe they really hadn't changed it much. They hadn't, you know, they just kind of closed the door to the room. And then she was dreaming about going in there and tucking in a child and telling her everything was going to be okay or whatever. But then, like a couple nights in a row, apparently the door is open to the room when he gets up in the middle of the night. And that's pretty creepy.
And it was connected with the anniversary of her death.
Yeah.
On that day.
Yeah.
Which, once again, I don't think that's a coincidence. Like, it's like, of all days for that stuff to be happening.
Yeah, and it's just such a feeling that you get when you know that that door shouldn't be open.
Except if I had a loved one, you know, who had passed, I want some delightful, heartwarming sort of signs. Not like creepy waking up and the door's open and it shouldn't be. Things are flying off the workbench and they shouldn't be. Like, can you just send me a butterfly or something?
Yeah, I think like hummingbirds, butterflies, you know, like,
play a song on the radio, even if it just comes on randomly and nobody turned the radio on. But music would be better because that just feels creepy. That's almost like it's trying to scare you. And it's like, yeah, that's, you don't have to.
But then again, maybe it's just her way of letting everyone know that she's there.
Absolutely. You
know? And that's, you know, it definitely got my attention. So I'm sure it got theirs. When they said that, I was like, just seeing that door open in the middle of the night, and you know, how a door's open and maybe some light kind of floods into the hallway because the door's open. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Or you're talking about her and things fly off a workbench. No!
Oh, goodness.
Something more delightful, please. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 if you'd rather write it in. Write at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can be a premium subscriber and you get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts or do it through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something, but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.